On today's CSEK News episode, I'm talking about the history of access to abortion in Canada, and then more specifically in the North for women and people with uteruses. This is part one of a two-part series on abortion in the North. As part of my research for this episode, I went through the motions of finding the clinics, websites, and phone numbers to call if you have questions about access for yourself to abortion, both medical and surgical. Above all, the website options for Sexual Health and BC HealthLink were the most responsive, specific, and detailed places to find the information I was looking for. I called numerous clinics and the Terrace Women's Wellness Clinic, BC HealthLink, and Options website were thoughtful, patient, and answered every question I had. If you are someone who requires access to an abortion and need help, start by speaking to any of the clinics and HealthLinks. The website to go to is optionsforsexualhealth.org, or you can Google BC HealthLink or call 250-635-2229 to speak to a representative at the Terrace Wellness Clinic, which is located in the hospital in Terrace. In Smithers, there are three physicians who offer the services, and I will be sharing my conversation with one of those physicians next Thursday. So make sure to listen or download the episode after it airs on Thursday, July 28th, or go to smithersradio.com. There's also a clinic in Prince George called Pathways, but unfortunately, I was not able to connect with a representative from Pathways. At this time, I can't provide information about the service that they offer.
This is CICK News. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Dan Messick. Each week, we provide an update about events and issues developing right across Northwest BC. CICK's Smithers Community Radio is on the dial at 93.9 FM, or you can listen online at smithersradio.com or subscribe to our podcast. CICK News broadcasts from unceded Ginamden Territory, home of the Wet'suwet'en Nation.
The decision to end a pregnancy can be both difficult and complex, and there are many reasons that you may choose to have an abortion. What you may not realize is that you also have options when it comes to the type of abortion that you have. Depending on how far into a pregnancy you are and the services that the physician near you offers, as well as factors including your personal preference, your overall health, and your doctor's recommendation, you may choose to have either a medical or a surgical abortion. Medical abortion involves medication rather than surgery to terminate your pregnancy. Mifigymeso is the Canadian brand name for the combination of the medications Mifepristone and Mifeprostenol. Mifigymeso is a combination product containing two medications, Mifepristone and Misoprostol, which are used in sequence to terminate a pregnancy. Advocates for the medication have said it will help to make an abortion more accessible in Canada, and especially for women in rural and remote areas who are currently forced to travel to find a provider. As the name suggests, a surgical abortion involves surgery to terminate a pregnancy. And there are two types of surgical abortion, aspiration and dilation and evacuation, or D&E. Aspiration is the preferred surgical method during the first trimester of pregnancy. To perform this procedure, your doctor numbs and dilates your cervix and allows for the insertion of a vacuum tube which uses suction to empty your uterus. D&E is generally used for later term abortions after the first trimester and up to 24 weeks. The procedure is similar to the aspiration method and is typically recommended when a fetus is discovered to have severe medical abnormalities later in the pregnancy or in cases of later term miscarriage. Both procedures only take a few minutes, however, you can typically expect your entire appointment to last 3 to 4 hours, and in some cases to span over a couple of days. The health of women and people with the ability to give birth is at risk in the United States now. But even in Canada, the legal right to have an abortion has only been in effect since 1988, when the Supreme Court of Canada decriminalized abortion, citing the law as unconstitutional. According to the Society of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, abortion is the second most common reproductive health procedure experienced by 31% of Canadian women, and according to an interview I conducted with a local physician who offers the procedure of abortion, she said it's the most common procedure for women. Prior to the decriminalization of abortion, in 1967, the Royal Commission on the Status of Women was convened by the federal government, and after 3 years of public hearings, the commission issued a groundbreaking report on women's affairs. It stated that abortion would be legal for the first 12 weeks of a pregnancy and could still be legal after 12 weeks if the pregnancy threatened the health of the pregnant person. In the 1980s, Henry Morgenthaler, a Polish-Canadian physician and abortion advocate, was prosecuted for providing abortions. In 1988, his case R.V. Morgenthaler went to the Supreme Court, and it evaluated his actions this time in relation to the 1982 Charter of Rights and Freedoms. The court found that the criminal code provision on abortion violated a woman's right to life, liberty, and security of the person, guaranteed under Section 7 of the Charter. Chief Justice Brian Dixon wrote, quote, "Forcing a woman by threat of criminal sanction to carry a fetus to term unless she meets certain criteria unrelated to her own priorities and aspirations is a profound interference with a woman's body and thus a violation of her security of the person." Specifically, the court didn't say that there was an inherent right to abortion under the Charter. Rather, it said that the system regulating access to abortions, particularly the hospital review committees that were meant to approve abortion requests, had so many barriers and operated so poorly that it was manifestly unfair. As a result, the abortion law was struck down, and it was repealed entirely in 2019. But because no other law has replaced it, abortion has remained legal throughout Canada since 1988, sort of. But despite its legalization, abortion remains one of the most divisive political issues of our time. In the wake of that 1988 Supreme Court ruling, abortion became a publicly funded medical service, and it was available in many hospitals, as well as in private clinics such as those established by Morgenthaler in major urban centers. However, services are not uniformly available across the country. So, the question is, should legislation be put into place in order to enshrine the right to abortion? Experts and advocacy groups have criticized the idea of creating any sort of standalone law on abortion, saying that this could lead to a plethora of unintended consequences. According to the National Association of Women and the Law, the chair of the National Steering Committee said, "We have no specific legislation for a hip replacement or other medical procedures, so why would we need one for abortion?" Even if the law simply enshrined abortion as a right, putting it on the books could open the door to subsequent governments' more restrictive amendments. In July 2015, after a lengthy review process, the federal government allowed Canadian doctors to begin prescribing mifepristone, a drug regimen more commonly known as the abortion pill. The two drugs that make up mifepristone allow women to end an early pregnancy within 70 days of becoming pregnant at home. Designed in part to improve access to abortion, the drugs act by inducing a miscarriage. Unlike the other medical drugs, the federal government requires doctors to dispense mifepristone directly to patients rather than sending them with a prescription to a pharmacy. Then, in November 2017, Health Canada changed the language in their product monograph from physicians only to health professional. This change extends prescribing and dispensing to pharmacists, nurse practitioners, midwifery groups, etc. The addition of midwife and nurse prescribers is especially important because it has the potential to significantly increase access to medical abortion. There are almost 1,700 midwives and almost 6,000 nurse practitioners working in Canada. But increasing access to medical abortion requires these healthcare providers on the front line to offer medical abortion as an option to their patients. Doctors are also required to take an online training course before they can dispense it. Women's health advocates have criticized these rules, and they say that they unnecessarily complicate access to the drugs and make it difficult for doctors with small practices, especially in rural areas, to stock supplies of it. Today, abortion falls under provincial healthcare systems as a medical procedure, meaning that access to the procedure varies considerably from place to place. In northern BC, access to Mifugemiso or medical abortion is offered, but the process to find a physician for rural communities can be a bit of a task. When I contacted Northern Health, our publicly funded healthcare provider for over 300,000 people in the region, the response was through email, as I was not granted an interview with a healthcare professional or given the names of any physicians who provide abortions. But I do understand why. It's because I might be a pro-life kook who wants to find the name of doctors who will offer abortions as a service so that I can harass them at their place of work. You may call that biased, but when I Googled abortion services, Skeena Buckley Valley, the top hit that came up was a Vote Pro-Life website that compares the abortion statuses of all candidates from the most recent regional election. If a candidate is pro-life, such as the Christian Heritage Party, he's given a green light. And if a candidate is pro-choice, they are given a red light. I called BC HealthLink to ask about access to clinics for northern communities, and the representative told me that it was hard because they're pretty spread out. Let's listen to part of that conversation now.
So you do have to go to specialized clinics, and I will tell you that in northern BC, they are pretty far apart.
Okay.
But just give me one moment. I need to find out where Smithers is.
Okay.
Okay, so I do just want to be clear, it does depend on some factors, such as how far along you are, your medical history, things like that. So there is a possibility that these clinics wouldn't see you because of other conditions that would cause them to be unable to assist you. So there is a potential that you would need to come to Vancouver for a procedure if you have medical conditions or if you're further along. If those things are not the case, then there is a clinic in Terrace and there is a clinic in Prince George.
Okay. So I guess the factors that you just mentioned as well, like, is that for safety or equipment? Like, what would be the reasons why you might not be able to get one in Terrace or PG?
Safety.
So
it really just depends on each individual person, if they have any health concerns or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And really, there are specific lists of those kinds of conditions that we go through that would make you ineligible to be seen there. But if you have any of those things, they would tell you when you contact them.
Oh, okay. So
and then you'd be traveling to us, as we're the most equipped and have more ability to care for more medically complicated patients.
And you're in Vancouver then?
Yes.
Wow. I was able to connect with the local doctor in Smithers who offers abortion services to help me understand the process of abortion access for Northerners. But in Terrace, at the Women's Wellness Clinic, they offer medical abortions only up to 10 weeks. And if you're unsure, you need to get an ultrasound and blood work. Stay tuned to next Thursday's episode of CICK News for my lengthy conversation with a local physician who offers the service of abortion in Smithers.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer Pam Hassan and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.